Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're focusing on the impact absentee fathers have on the lives of their daughters, not only as girls, but as women. We continue the discussion tonight with Janetta Rose Barris. She's a journalist and creator of the Fatherless Daughters Speak Out. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are taking phone calls. If you are having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we'll take as many calls as we can. Before the break, we were talking to Tiffany, calling from D.C. She says that she had done well in spite of the fact that her father was not around, and yet there were some other problems. Tiffany, please go ahead and finish your point.
Oh, okay, yes. So I was saying that, you know, I was able to overcome a lot of the issues that I had growing up in terms of dating, in terms of self-esteem issues, in terms of not being able to find myself and figuring out who I am. And in doing so, my search was to find my father. And when I finally did find him, he was out the country, and I went to visit where he was. I think he was in London or something. And I had a lot of questions, and he did like the whole blame game with, you know, pointing the finger at my mom and saying, you know, she pushed me away. This is the reason why I wasn't involved. So fast track, I'm married and I have a daughter. And I mean, I know that the caller previously, his name was Devin, called and said he wants to get involved in his child's life. And it's the same issue with my father. My fear of having him involved in my daughter's life with me and my husband is that he's going to walk away again. And I can't risk that. I can't risk the inconsistency. I can't risk him walking away from my child. I try to provide a safe home for her. Mm-hmm. I try to provide a safe environment for us. And, you know, I struggled growing up with my mom. We were homeless a couple of times. Mm-hmm. She didn't have any money. She didn't have anywhere to go to call people. So, you know, that's why I strive to be the best to make it for us.
Well, let me see what Janetta has to say about that. This issue, obviously, Janetta, is complex, and not just Tiffany's issue, but many of these issues are very, very complex.
It is very complex. I mean, I have when I wrote my book, people could not believe the story that I told about my own life because I was such an accomplished person in journalism. But that is the mask that we wear. You do not want people to know that you're in that circumstance. One of the things that Tiffany is talking about is the triple fear factor. In this case, it's not just she's worried about just her daughter, but she's also worried about him walking out of her life again. And that is the fear of rejection, fear of commitment, fear of abandonment. Reliving that abandonment all over again is even more traumatic the older you are after you've gotten together. And all I would say is I've written a book called Bridges, Reuniting Daughters and Daddies, which is a how-to book. How do you actually make that relationship work? And the first thing I always tell people is you got to be honest. You got to say to your father, look, I really would like to have you in my daughter's life, in your granddaughter's life, but here are my issues with you. And you've got to show me that you're serious about being in our lives. And then you've got to have an element of trust, which is very hard for girls who've grown up without their fathers to trust men in general. But then to trust the man who actually walk away is even harder. But you've got to make that step.
Tiffany, thank you so much. And good luck to you as you move through this journey. And thank you for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the impact of absentee fathers on the lives of their daughters, not only as girls, but as women. Let's talk to April, calling from D.C. April, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
No problem. I'm just calling because I also grew up without a father. My father left when I was little. I was probably like 2 or 3, I think my mom said. I have no recollection or memory of him at all. Now, the way that it affected me was I actually grew up seeking that validation, that love and attention from a male pretty much my whole life, it seems. Like, even, like, only in high school, I'm attached to these boys. Like, I'm seeking that love that I never got. Like, I don't even know what that love is or what it's supposed to be or what it's supposed to feel like. And it's just like, I'm just growing up like this and seeking this, and it's not there. So So I am in these relationships, these bad relationships, getting upset when someone tells me they don't want to be with me because I'm too clingy or I'm too attached. And this has been a struggle. And I actually even got pregnant in high school and raised my daughter by herself. And I just can't understand how these men are out here walking around knowing that they have, especially daughters, a daughter walking around who might possibly end up with a male just like you, treating her the way that you treat people. And it's just like we don't even see the problem because we're so blinded to the fact that this is just a male and this is the love that I never have. Is this what love is supposed to be from a male? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know. We're staying in these relationships because this is what we think it's supposed to be, but we don't know. I never had that male to say, this is how you're supposed to be treated by a man.
Well, April, let me ask, because she's obviously in a bit of a quandary. How old are you, April?
I'm 34.
You're 34. So She's got a lot of room to run as far as her life is concerned. So how should she begin to address this issue? Obviously, the first step is that she knows.
Well, she knows that it actually is an issue in her life. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what I try to recommend is that, you know, what helped me was that I had some really good platonic male friends who kind of provided me a real guidance and helped me to feel good about myself. I remember one friend asked me, he said, you don't really think much of yourself, do you? And I said, no. He said, you're a really striking woman. You're this, you're that. I had not had anyone to really give me that kind of attention without sex or something else being attached to it.
A positive reinforcement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that relationship carried me for a long time, that platonic relationship. And so I do recommend that women try to find a male friend who isn't really trying to bed them, but really wants to help them to grow and to mature. And, of course, I would recommend you read my book, Whatever Happened to Daddy's Little Girl. But I know exactly what you've gone through, April. I went through it myself, not understanding what is love. Even when I wrote my book, I kid you not, Harold, I asked my mother, how do you know a man loves you? Mm-hmm. I'm like 30, her age, writing a book. And my mother says, by the way he acts. And I said, but that's what I'm trying to ask you. How should he act? And here, you know, and so I understand exactly what you're talking about. And that is the reason we need men to return to their daughters. We need them to return to their families. They really do have something to contribute. They have information to share to help their daughters become stronger women, become stronger leaders in our society.
Well, April, thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the impact absentee fathers have on the lives of their daughters, not only as girls, but as women. If you have a comment or a question, lines are still open. Let's talk to Melissa. Melissa, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Melissa. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Well, actually, the previous caller and a response to it was the point I was going to make. Mm-hmm. But I wrote a poem about it, and it was called titled Lost Man, and I'm not going to read the whole poem, but the end of it states, Lost Man, please find yourself so we can start healing and the devil can stop stealing our joy. It was actually read on WHUR maybe in 2014 or 15, one of your poetry contests that you had.
Well, I think that's very poignant, that those last two lines. And I'll ask you, just as I asked some of the other callers, how are you doing now?
I'm doing fine, actually. It really made me be stronger, and I strive to get an education because I did not want to relive what I see my mother go through, it was like living in hell. So, and I made a promise to myself that I was going to do the best that I could for myself so I would not have to relive that. Mm-hmm. So I became very competitive. Mm-hmm. So if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it. And it's funny because when I started being around my father, when I became an adult woman, and at first I rejected him, but the person I'm dating said, well, no, he grew up with his mother and his father. He said, you know, just let him in. And I did. And I'm glad I did it. But I was still angry.
Mm-hmm.
I was still very angry, and I'm a 46, and I'm just starting. All my life I've been told, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful. And I would look in the mirror and say, well, who are they talking about? Mm-hmm. My dad had never told me that.
Okay. Interesting point. And again, thank you for sharing those last two lines of your poem with us. We really appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Warren, calling from D.C.
Yes.
Thanks for calling, Warren. What's on your mind?
Well, my comment is, my daughter was alienated from me by my wife and my son. They moved out the house, and then, you know, I would try to reach out to my daughter. She was 12 at the time. And if I did, I started calling. She would only give me a one-word answer, which was okay, you know, like, hi, and that was it. Then all of a sudden, I wasn't getting anything. They changed the phone number and everything. And I just reached out to her this month with a birthday card, and she did tell me thank you, sent a text to me and told me thank you.
How old is she?
So I know, you know, it's hard.
How old is she now,
for
Warren?
Fathers.
How old is she now?
She's 19.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. And I was going to say, you know, Janetta, this is really critical, you know, from 12 to 19, and we've heard this in one of the previous callers, mm-hmm. there are some lost years, some really
critical lost years. Lots of lost years. I mean, when I finally met my father, he sent me a letter. He actually went to my grandfather and forced my mother, it was her father, to tell him where I was. And that's how I got to see my father before he died. And what he said to me is, there's always two sides to every story. And what one has to do is try to find someone in on that maternal side of the family that would kind of act as an advocate for the father. So the father has to try to find somebody in that family that's going to act as an advocate and plead his case both to the mother and to the daughter. Here's what's happening most often, Harold. The child has grown up with the mother, and there is a special strong bond. And earlier we heard from Tiffany, who talked about homelessness and all the stuff she and her mother had gone through. And so we know that Tiffany and her mother went through a lot together. It was hard and everything. And so you can't tell me anything about my mother.
Mm-hmm. Because she's
because
going to,
I'm not going to listen to
she's
you.
She's going to be the shield. She's going to defend
the mother.
And
I'm going to I'm not going to listen to you. And I'm going to not want to be with you. I'm not going to want to. So you can't enter the room attacking the mother. You have to enter the room pleading your case and basically saying, I am sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Please forgive me. Even if the mother pushed you out, you still have to be forgiven because you didn't fight hard enough. And that's the way the daughter thinks about it. Mm-hmm. You didn't fight hard enough. You could have fought harder to get to me. And you can now. It's not too late. 19 is not too late.
And I was about to say, you know, in Warren's case, you know, he's back to, you know, he was getting one-word answers at 12. He stopped getting answers. Now he got two words.
That's right, exactly.
And I say that only half joking, Warren, because now that you have two words and your daughter is an adult.
Yes.
You can talk to her in one way, shape, or form. And hopefully, as a woman, you can get to know her and perhaps, you know, rekindle that relationship. So, it's a start. And thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about fatherless daughters as girls and as women. Lines are still open, and we'll talk about it on the other side of this break. Marcus from D.C. will talk to you next. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about focusing on the impact absentee fathers have on the lives of their daughters as girls and as women. My guest is Janetta Rose Barris. She's a journalist and creator of the Fatherless Daughters Speak Out. And, of course, there is an event for daughters 13 to 17 years old, as well as their mothers. Are fathers invited also?
Well, we say that the guardians can come with them.
Guardians, so okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Whoever those guardians happen to be.
Yeah.
And that's on May 20th. Of course, we'll be posting contact information. It's free. You just have to make sure that you register. So, again, that information will be on WHUR.com after the program around 8:30 or so. Let's go to Marcus. Marcus calling from D.C. Marcus, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, hello, Harold.
Hey, how are you?
What's on my mind is that I'm in a bit of a situation like the last caller was in. I am a father who grew up with both, you know, my mother and my father present. However, my girlfriend, she didn't grow up with her father. And, you know, she's voiced, you know, throughout our relationship, how much that hurt her and how much that made insecure about men in general and opening up for relationships. And what I'm going through now is that, you know, our daughter is 9 months old, but I'm being pushed away. And I'm being pushed away in the worst way possible because, you know, I feel that, you know, she doesn't want to take that risk of me walking away like her father did to her. So I wanted to, you know, speak to you, speak to the panel and see what you thought about that. And, you know, what can I do to strengthen that bond between her and I and reassure her that I do value fatherhood.
Interesting. Go right ahead, Janetta.
And I was going to say that, have you thought about, Marcus, about going to counseling together?
We have not. We're not to that point yet.
Yeah, it sounds like you might be at that point. And this is one of the things when we talk about 57% of African American children not growing up in homes where they're with their biological father. One of the things we don't talk about is why is that? And that's generally because of the cycle that you're talking about, where your girlfriend grew up in a home without her father, where there weren't two parents. You grew up in a home where there were two parents, and there's a difference there in terms of what you understand about arguments and relationships and expectations of that relationship and what hers are. And so you probably needed to go to counseling before you actually began this serious relationship or got married. And I often tell people, listen, you need to know the background of the person you're dating. And then if you really want to move forward with this and have a serious relationship, get married, have children, then you need to go to counseling together to talk through those issues related to father absence or whatever other issues there are. The only thing I could say, Marcus, is that I would suggest you really sit down with her and have a talk about this, about what her fears are and how does she think that you can help her to walk through those fears, because those are real fears. When someone who is supposed to be the man of your life walks away from you, I can tell you it is definitely devastating, and you don't get over it. There have been studies, one recent study that everyone is talking about the adverse childhood experiences. And one of them is parental separation and divorce. And the researchers have said, which is obviously consistent with what I've written, but the researchers have said that lasts a lifetime. You don't just get over that. You push it to the back of your mind. You try to manage it the way you manage hypertension and diabetes. That's what I tell people. You never really get over it. You just learn how to manage it so that it doesn't create a drama and it doesn't disrupt your life. And so the best thing to do is to have that talk with her and to begin to try to persuade her. And you have to be patient, because I will tell you, she's going to test you. Can I trust him today? Can I trust him next week? Can I trust him a year from now? It's going to be a constant testing. And if you love her, you understand what her issues are, then you have to kind of be patient as you walk through that.
And before I let you go, Marcus, one of the things that I would recommend, consistency.
Yes.
Be consistent. If your daughter is 9 months now, whether you and her mother get back together, stay together, or part, if you say you're going to be there at 6, be there at 5:50. If you say that you're going to bring your daughter back at 6, bring her back at 5:50. If you're going to take her to church, take her to church. If the plans change, pick up the phone.
Exactly.
You know, keep those lines of communication, you know, open. If you tell the mother that you're going to buy, you know, Pampers. If you tell the mother you're going to buy a new dress. If you tell the mother that you're going to be at the parent-teacher conference, be there. Buy the Pampers. Buy the dress. You know, don't make any unrealistic promises, but consistency, because eventually, like you were saying, mm-hmm. you know, she will eventually see, no matter what the relationship you have with the mother, that that being a consistent and positive influence in your daughter's life will help her grow up whole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, that is so important.
Marcus, good luck to you, and hang in there. Let me go to Manuel. Manuel calling from Forestville. What's on your mind, Manuel?
Yes, I just had a question, you know, as far as if the roles was reversed and it was a motherless daughter.
I'm sorry, say again now?
The roles were reversed and there was a motherless daughter.
Oh yeah.
I often, what I advocate is that we have two parents in our homes or two people serving those particular roles of mother and father in our homes. We need our mothers, and often the mother is actually the cross instructor for the son, just as the father is the cross instructor for the daughter. There are things that the mother is teaching the son or should be teaching the son that the father can't teach the son, and vice versa. So I think it's very important. Sometimes you can't have it the way you want, but you can also get a surrogate to perform that role, which is a critical role.
Mm. Manuel, thank you so much. And here's something else, Janetta. Is there a difference between fathers and father figures and the impact on the two, on girls?
Well, there is, because I had a great grandfather. I did. But I tell people my grandfather wasn't there when I woke up in the morning. He wasn't there when I went to bed at night. He couldn't come to all the programs. He wasn't there to smell my funky breath in the morning and tell me how beautiful I am and how much he loved me. He did that on the weekends or when I saw him on holidays. But so there is the need to have that person in your home. Now, ideally, it would be great if every biological father could stay with their children, but we know divorce happens. We know things happen. Life happens. But in the case of a stepfather can assume that role. I had three people in my life before I was 8 years old who actually were father figures to me. The last one to leave was the one I really had the strongest relationship with, and he wasn't my biological father, but he loved me madly, and I loved him the same way. And when I was writing the book, I was crying because I missed him so much. And so if there is that person who is performing that role, you have to also be careful, because even if you're not the biological father, but then you like split, you know, then it has the same impact if you've performed that role.
But what if you are not the biological father and you are still around? Is there a deeper concern on the part of the daughter? While I know that this is my stepfather, or I know that this is my my mother's, you know, significant other.
Right.
But are they still in
they're
some
still wanting thing, to they want the
bond
father.
With
yeah.
with the biological, and what impact might that have?
Yeah, and in
them?
The story in the book, I actually do chart a couple of women who had great stepfathers, but they still went looking for their biological fathers because they just wanted to know, do I look like him? Does he act like me? Did he love me? Why did he leave me? And so those are questions that one still wants to know, and so there's still that uncertainty in their lives about their worthiness, because that's the original man.
Mm. Interesting. I've got about a minute left. Some final thoughts about this event, because you call it a speak out. I would be, as a parent, particularly, I wonder, you know, what the mothers might hear from their daughters that may be tough for them to hear if they are being candid and speaking out.
I think one of the ways that we are trying to encourage the speak out is not so as an assault, but more as an emotional experience. And we're using the arts to do that. And so through the arts, through the visual arts, through poetry, we are, and through a couple of games that we've developed for this purpose, we will give them an opportunity to share their thoughts and their views. And so it's not an assault. We don't want to assault the mother or the absent father. What we want is for the fatherless daughter to begin to open herself up, to share what she's feeling, and to express it, and then to begin the healing process.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. Janetta Rose Barris, of course, thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
And, of course, we'll be posting that information about the Fatherless Daughter Speak Out happening on May 20th. We'll be posting that on WHUR.com in just a bit. Also, we want to thank Janks Morton for spending some time with us earlier during the course of the broadcast. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Tuesday, May 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or at DailyDrumWHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World.